Welcome to episode 47 of the TM podcast. Has been a while, you know why, it's Corona times. Still, well, COVID-19 and 20 and 21. Let's say, didn't stop us from developing, but it did stop us a bit from recording new episodes. But this is over. We now also have a remote setup. So here we are again. And today we talk about something that we developed quite recently, something that we call the error handling. And yeah, basically what this is and some of the technical backgrounds will be discussed in today's episode. And we have a nice group of guests today, or guests, host, participants, whatever we'd like to call it. We have Patrick, Balazs, and Kevin with us. And maybe, as always, Patrick, can you maybe start introducing yourself? You as a veteran. You may know Patrick from the very first episode of the TM podcast. So that's... but still, for those of you don't remembering Patrick too well, maybe you can introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Patrick. I'm working in the consulting organization in the area of transportation management and currently supporting the development team in various areas.
And Patrick has been working as a development architect also before here, so he is more than qualified to answer the questions. No, ask the questions today. Actually, Patrick will ask the questions today and we will answer. Yeah. Balazs, can you maybe also add some words about you?
Sure. I'm Balazs and I joined the TM development team only in March last year. So I'm quite new here, but I have almost 10 years of ABAP experience already. So the technical part, in a way, it's not new to me, but I'm new to TM. Nevertheless, I had the chance to work amongst other topics on this error handling. And I'm very excited to record my first TM podcast episode.
Yeah, really happy to have you on board on board this podcast episode, but of course also in development. And Kevin, can you also say some words about you?
Sure. Also, very warm welcome from my side. My name is Kevin, and I am now since May 2020 a developer in the TM community. And yeah, I'm quite new to the ABAP language and to the TM processes, so I'm looking forward to this episode today about error handling.
Yeah, thank you. And a very good position to ask questions, right, if you don't have been involved. Yeah, today our roles are a bit mixed. Oh, maybe I also introduce myself. I'm Bernd, but from the order management team, one of the architects in that area, and has been working in TM for a while, and you may have heard me in previous TM podcast episodes already. And today our setup is a bit different. So Patrick and Kevin will ask the questions, and Balazs and myself will try to answer them. So with that, I would hand over to Kevin, Patrick, to the two of you. What do you want to know about error handling?
What is error handling? No, just kidding. So when I work for some customers, I sometimes have the problem that when, for example, messages arrive in the system, that they fail and basically I cannot correct the actual error in that area. And I wonder if there is some news in this area, maybe some improvements in the standard system that help me here to improve the overall handling.
What a coincidence, Patrick. Exactly for that problem, we developed this error handling. So what is the overall idea of that error handling? I mean, there are all kinds of errors, but this, what we call error handling here, let's say, has at least the starting point in exactly the process that you described. So you receive a message, electronic message, so not a fax or something, so an electronic message, and unfortunately, there are errors in that message. For example, there's a typo in the ID of the product that's referred, or it refers to a purchase order that you don't have or that you don't detect. And what so far happens is that that goes back into the queue, into error, forward error handling, and that's it. And the technical user can then basically go and try to solve the problem. In the process of the co-innovation project that we had, to find a solution for exactly that problem. That in the project, what we heard is that up to 10-15% of the messages do have some errors. And if now 10-15% of the messages go into forward error handling, a technical user has to solve them, that's quite a job, quite a challenge. And also, this classic behavior that goes into to the queue, that means in the end, if you have an order with hundreds of items, if there's one tiny little bit wrong for one of the items or product ID or something, the complete message is rejected, which is also a problem because one possible workaround, of course, is that you record this document then manually, but then you also have to enter the 99 or 999 items manually, which are actually completely correct in the message. And to address that issue, we introduced error handling. So what it does is you receive a message with an error or with multiple errors, and even so it has some errors, and we come to that, what is supported and what not, later is certain. Have a certain error, you can still save the document. So all the other 999 items and all the rest of the document is saved together with that faulty item. Still, you have an error. Yeah. So it's not that we can just store it without any extra caution. So this error is identified and persisted, let's say, in as part of the document, but as a clear error, and the document is blocked, at least for the stops, which are affected by that item. Yeah? So now the new situation is you receive an error with a message, or message with an error, is that the same thing? No. Oh, you receive a message with an error, and you can now store it. It is visible to business users. And the document is stored with an error. And an end user can now go and can correct the error, either by enter, for example, if the product ID is wrong, you can identify that and you can, for example, correct it because you know that supplier is always sending that message with that wrong product ID. It's always the same error. If you can also call your supplier and say, okay, see here in that item, that reference, for example, this purchase order is wrong. Can you please check if you don't have the correct number? And then your supplier sends an update, for example, and the error would be gone. Or you can also, for certain errors where, for example, the master data is not yet created, you can also do something what we call a retry. So, but in the end, errors which are user or solvable, is that a word? Solvable by a business user are now visible to business users and they can fix them themselves. And once the errors are fixed, the document is also unblocked automatically and everything goes on as there was never an error before. So that's the idea.
So this means instead of, let's say, keeping the message in the queue, we try to process the message and create or update the document, but only the bits and pieces of the message which can be processed and the bits and pieces which contains errors are, however, stored as errors. So the big difference compared to the former world is that we really create the document in TM instead of letting just the message fail.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the point. So you see that document. Now you have a chance to correct it also without being SMQ2 or whatever queue monitor transactions you're using. User, but it's really a business user, can go, can identify the error, and can more or less independently resolve them. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. And
does it then completely replace the old logic, the old forward error handling and post-processing office, or is it something which comes additionally to that?
I think we should then also come to the type of errors, because that's now a bold statement, right? So we replace forward error handling. That's, unfortunately, that's not the case completely. So we address certain defined errors. We may also come later to what we call error categories. So for every error that we handle, there's a clearly defined scope for the error. What is that error? How can it be resolved, etc.? And it works pretty, and we have quite a list of error categories. Balazs, how many? 50 something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but still there are more possible errors. For example, if we receive a message and then that refers to a document type that we don't know, that is nothing we can handle here, because no business user could solve that. Yeah, you could not just create a new document type or something as a business user, or just pick a different document type, because we would have issues to create the document in the first place. So there are still errors that would go into forward error handling. And basically, that's all the errors that we do not explicitly catch in our new error handling. However, the number of errors that we handle in error handling is, I think, will grow over the years to come, decades maybe even. But we will never, let's say, completely replace forward error handling. There's still, if you have technical issues, really deep technical configuration that is missing or wrong, that's nothing. That's really, it focuses also business users. So errors that a business user can solve, it's nothing, not just another UI for the technical user, but this is really for business user handleable errors.
Okay. And everything else is then handled by the old world, so to say.
Exactly. That sounds now like a strict limitation. But then again, if you look into the 10-15% of the errors that we, for example, learned from the from the project partner that we worked with, the vast majority of those errors, at least after a certain setup phase, are master data errors. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Wrong references to purchase orders, wrong typos, whatever in product or business partner IDs, that kind of error. So I think with that limited number of errors, we still expect to catch the majority of the things that today end up in forward error handling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And with which release is this functionality coming?
The error handling, Balazs, that comes with S4, so that's an S4 exclusive thing. It comes with 2020. So it's not 2009 anymore. Now it's 2020, right? Because 2009 sounds 11 years old. That's why it's now 2020. And it comes with feature pack 0 already, right? We have some features coming with feature pack 1. So with SP1 of FP1 of S4 2020, there's quite some more features, but I think the error handling is more or less completely delivered with SP0, right, Balazs?
Yes, that's right. So there are some improvements that we did in FPS1, and most likely there will be some additional improvements in FPS2, but the core concept is delivered in 2020.
Right. And the stuff that we did, the enhancement that we had there, they're also available as Node. However, yeah. I think anyway, for 2020, going on SP1, feature pack 1 is a good idea, because there are this massive developments that we had to add. So for production, I think it's a good idea to go for SP1 if it comes to error handling. But available, technically available, it's already with feature pack 0.
Okay. So if we would go down one level deeper regarding the different errors we can catch or we can handle with this concept. So you said technical errors, that's a completely different story, but what kind of errors would then be the majority what we currently handle with this concept?
Maybe I can start, and Balazs, you can take over if you like. So basically, we so far we foresee three, let's say, main categories of errors. The first one being the master data errors. So I refer to an non-existing or not yet existing master data object. For example, my product that I refer to in my item is not there. The, I don't know, certain business partner that I refer to in my freight order or consignment order is not known in my system yet. That kind of errors is called master data errors. Then we have another class of errors. And for that master data errors, I think we have in itself 30, maybe. It's really a majority of our error category. So it's, for example, it's a product on the item. It's the business partner or a certain business partner on root level. It's a business partners on the business partner tab. It's a business partners on item level, etc. So more or less for every single master data object on every single BO node or what we call data node in this context here, we have a master data error category. The second major category are the reference errors. And maybe Balazs, do you want to add some words on what that is?
Sure. So a reference error, as its name says, is created when we process a message that references a document that does not exist in the system. So this might be a TM document, or this could be a document in the ERP referencing, for example, a purchase order for which we don't find anything with a given ID. And in this case, we create a reference error. Maybe we should also note that some master data errors can also trigger reference errors. So we have, for example, when we are looking for a purchasing order, we also consider some information such as the product IDs. And if a product ID is not found, in addition to the master data error, we also create the reference error, because if the product, even if the document ID of the purchase order matches, if the products that are included do not match, then we still create this reference error.
Ah, that's a very good point. Yeah, so it can also be a combination of those errors, and it can also be a list of master data errors. So one item can be, I don't know, could have like 10, or maybe not 10, but maybe 5 different master data errors. And then also, most likely, then also the reference error, because if I cannot really identify the item, I also cannot identify the item of the ERP document. And then finally, the freight unit as well. Okay. Okay, that's the reference error. Anything else for the reference error, Balazs, for high level? Okay, maybe we come to this life cycle of day in the life of a reference error, maybe later anyhow. Exactly. And then we have something maybe like a spare category, what we called an advanced error. So far, I'm not even sure if we delivered something in that main category, but that's more for more complex things. Like, for example, now that's future, but maybe it shows vision. We are currently doing a prototype with some students on if you have geo distance determination errors. Those are also end up in error handling. Again, this is nothing that we deliver. That's something we try out. But that would go into that advanced error category. It's not a master data error per se. It's definitely not a reference error. And if you don't know what kind of error it is, it's just an advanced error. So in the end, that's more like an open category for more complex stuff. Maybe also something for enhancement. And we talk about enhancement definitely later. Yeah, so wrapping up once again, so we have master data errors. That's any field on any node that refers to a master data that we cannot find. We have the reference errors, and we have the advanced errors. And maybe one more word about the master data errors. What happens if I receive a message with a faulty, for example, product ID, in the item. Then we leave in the actual item field, we leave the product ID empty. Why is that? In most cases, the leading field is anyway a GUI, the key, where we refer to our master data objects. And I mean, if you don't determine the ID correctly, what kind of key could we write there? And that would break up everything. So in the end, the product ID is kept empty in the item, and you have now an error. And then we talk about how I see that error later in the document, and which exactly states you have an error on this item for the product field. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's enough high level about the categories or types of errors that we have.
But this means so that the type is actually only a grouping of the individual errors, correct? Or is it?
Yeah, what I refer to, yeah, maybe I was not too precise, but when I said error category, that actually maybe jump a bit ahead, but error category in the error handling case here, that's really a combination of the field that has the issue and the node. For example, the product item, product field on item level, that is one error category. The shipper field on item, that's another error category. The consignee field on the item or ship to field on the item, that's another error category. So really every combination of node and field, that's an own category. If we talk about reference errors, we also have, it's not just there is a reference error, but we know that's a freight unit reference error, or maybe you can mention some more examples here, Balázs.
So we have categories. Hmm? Yeah, for example, we have in freight orders referencing non-existing consignments, or freight orders referencing consignments which themselves have errors. So yeah.
So but Mr. Go ahead, sorry.
I just wanted to add that this master data error versus reference error, this is mostly like a technical grouping. So from the user point of view, it doesn't really matter. There is this tab where we display these error messages, and they look the same. So they have obviously different semantics, but it's not really... It's more the way that we technically divided these error categories into master data and reference errors. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Exactly. You will see that and maybe we can also jump ahead a bit. So every error category that really identifies a certain error on a certain node has a referring handler class that we come to the details of that class later, but it's a one-to-one. So for every single error category, there is a error class, and most likely, or 99% in the cases, there's also a specific message ID, so user message with a long text where the options how to resolve the errors are described. And that is, of course, from master data, it's a bit similar, but it's not identical. Yeah. That is what an error category actually is, a very detailed, it's the on field level, node field level, the error. What we talked about is master data error, reference error, and advanced error, that's more, let's say, a logical grouping. You can only find them if you look into the class hierarchies, yeah, because master data errors have a lot in common. That's why the handler classes have a lot in common, like 99% of the code or 90% of the code is shared for them. However, as Balázs said, for the end user anyway, an error is an error, and that has certain actions, etc. To handle it, that's more like a logical categorization of categories. But okay, what's a group of categories? A super category, I don't know. Meta category, whatever.
Okay, so the actual type, what we just described, the master data, the reference, and the advanced errors, it's just a kind of, as you said, a logical grouping of the individual error categories where we will talk about, I think, in a few minutes, a little bit more in detail. Okay, now I got it. Good. For me, still, what's not 100% clear is how do we get these errors? So I receive a message, okay, that's processed by the system, and finally I need. So what is an error, and how do we create them basically?
Okay, so maybe that's a good point, good idea. So maybe we can go to the day in the life of an error. So from maybe and start with the creation, of course. So let's say we receive a message. And by the way, we come to that a bit later. There are certain limitations, so that does not work for any message in any context. We come to that in more detail later. So receive a message, and in that message you have, for example, in the item you refer to a product which does not exist in your system. So what happens? First of all, it goes into the normal message processing, and from there it goes into an engine, which is called the update handler, which is for those messages, taking care of creating a correct document chain. And in this update handler, the check of master data, of existence of master data, is performed. Right, Balazs?
Yes. If you want to be a bit more precise, even there's a component called the inbound agent before the update handler, so to say, and that's where these checks on the different reference master data objects takes place. But yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I want to be precise, but I can't. So that's why it's very good to have you here. Okay, so in the inbound agent, so the master, first of all, it's checked if we detect the master data, and if we recognize the master data, and so far, if we did not do, then we would go through an error and go back into forward error handling. Now, I think, or maybe it's best, Balashi, I mean, you wrote that part, maybe do you just describe what happens next?
Yeah, so the master data errors are detected in this thing called inbound agent. And then the next step is another component of this update handler called the service facade, where we do lots of things. We also do this thing called freight unit matching, where we do the matching of the reference documents and link them between each other. And this is the place where we check for reference errors, for example. And after this, so after we have the inbound agent and these reference errors, there's then we gather everything and we create our document. If errors are detected, then we also create them, because maybe I'll also jump a bit ahead. These errors are stored in the TOR-BO, just as everything, all the other information, just like items, just like stops and so on. This error information is also part of the business object. So, and then we also give this data to the update handler, and then we store everything, including the errors. So that's how the document with the errors is created.
So basically, this ID, this faulty ID, is removed from the item in that example, right? And instead, or based on that detected error, the item field is cleaned up, but also an error node is instantiated. We come to the exact BO modeling a bit later, but that's basically what happens. And then the item is created without a product reference, plus we create this error instance. That is how it all starts, and then you can save. Also important, maybe, if we create such an error instance, we also create a block, so that, because if there's no item, or if you have such an incomplete item, obviously there's a problem for execution, maybe not for planning, but for execution. That's why we create an execution block. But this block only blocks the stops which are linked to that item. So if I have, for example, multi-drop, and that only affects my second drop in an inbound scenario, my first stop is fine, but I create a block for the second stop. If that's item, the first to second stop. Then the document is saved. Item with an empty product, block entry, on stop level plus the error handling instance in that BO node, and we come to the details of that later.
But this means that this error must be identified by an external caller and not the business object itself. So the business object does not recognize the error itself, but it is rather the, as you said, the inbound agent, for example, who creates that error in the business object.
Exactly. Yeah. Clearly. Yeah. That's as simple as that. So far, I mean, maybe we come later also to an outlook, and there might be other sources for errors, but so far the concept is the error is detected outside the core BO model, and then the BO model knows how to handle it, but not how to detect it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's how it starts. And maybe if you like, we can also just take that, let's say, from a user perspective, maybe continue the journey of that error. So what happened now is the document is saved. This item has an empty product. There's an error entry and there's a block, and this is solved. Now, first thing is, how can I recognize or how can I find those documents? And this is basically, as I said, we have blocks for that document, and basically we are using the block categories, which are, okay, there the master data and reference and advanced comes into play again. So not every error category has its own block category, but we have only block categories like master data or reference error. So you can, in your POWL, you can, already today, you can select documents by block category, and that now also is used to identify the documents with a block category, for example, master data error or reference error. Yeah? So in the POWL, a business user can check, for example, all faulty documents, or the one with reference errors, or the one with master data errors. And then you have a list. Right? Then you have first a list of all documents which unresolved document errors. Okay, that's a good starting point, but it's not solved yet. So then user can go into the, for example, freight order. We identified this master data product. Let's stick to the product example. You can now go into the document, and there's a special tab, error handling, right? And in there, first of all, you go into the document, you can go into the error handling tab, and there you see the list of errors. And maybe Balazs, do you want to say some more words about the error handling tab and what it provides then?
So basically you have a list of all the errors that have been identified for this document. And then depending on the error category, you have different options to solve this. Let's say the simplest thing, for example, reference error. A document is referenced, the ERP document, which for some reason is not yet available, but then it appears in the system. So then we can simply solve this by a retry. So that's one option.
Maybe one more thing you can start with is for every error, you also have a description, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a list of the error, and then you can press on describe, I think it's something like that. And then you get a long text, or get a message, and it also tries to highlight the affected node data. Like if you have the error handling tab open and the item tab open, then and you press describe, then you would also see that rare red surrounding on the product item field. And you would get a message for which says, okay, product ID wrong for that field. And then also it also tells you what was the wrong product ID. So we also store the faulty data because it might give you a hint to correct the data. And with that faulty, with that message, there's a long text where the user gets information how to resolve the error. As mentioned, we try to address end users. And one of the options that we typically have is a retry, where it just yeah, just takes the value as it has been sent and try to if it works now. Yeah. So for example, a product, maybe it's something where the master data is not yet created. It's not a typo, but your supplier did send this message so fast that you didn't even have the time to create the master data part of it. And that's why you just have to wait. Yeah. So half an hour later, the master data has been created. Then you press retry and everything is fine in that case. That's one option to solve it. But I think there are more options typically, right, Balazs?
Yes. So let's say we really had a typo for a product ID. And then next to the error message, you have an input field. And then you can actually correct this this faulty value. And you also have a nice search help, which is so smart that depending on the error category, you get the relevant search help. So if you have a wrong product ID, then as soon as you start typing in, then you get the search help for a product. And yeah, the same, for example, for locations or... That's another option, but you can also correct this field on the item itself or the faulty node. So you can actually, you don't have to necessarily do this in the error handling tab, but you can go into the your items or your stops and then correct this data there. That's also an option.
Exactly. Or you call your supplier and the supplier sends a new version now with corrected errors and or with a correct product ID, and then this error will also disappear. So basically, the error disappears as soon as the field has been filled with a valid value. So it knows that this item has a problem, and it also knows what kind of problem based on the error category. And now if this problem on this item has been resolved on whatever way, so there is a valid product ID in the item, then the error is resolved, that this error disappears. So far, we do not store resolved errors. That's something for the future. And also the when all blocks are gone, when all errors are gone, then the underlying block is also removed. So in the end. So once again, so when the message comes in, the error is detected, the field is cleared in the field, in the what we call data node, like the item, stop, root. We create an entry which identifies that error, and also we have but we come to the BO modeling later. So we create an entry that there is an item product error. And once for the affected items, there is a valid product, or for affected business partner node, once there is a valid business partner ID, key in the end, then the error is resolved. The error handler, error instance is removed, and also the block finally goes away, and the document looks like it never had a problem in the end.
Maybe what's still worth mentioning here, so these actions like retry and so on, this is quite flexible, so we can offer up to 5 actions, if I'm correct, on the UI, and that's completely flexible, so that we can provide different actions for different error categories for the solution.
And that's a good point. We come to the technical modeling, I think, in a minute, but more or less every error category has assigned, yeah, we already talked about messages, so the end user side of the story. The search help is something that is more or less defined by the error category in the end. And also the action. So Balazs already mentioned up to 5, I think so far our maximum is 2. Or 3, right? It's a retry is very popular. It's over, almost there. But we have 2 or 3 examples where we have more actions. But hopefully we will find other, let's say, actions that help the user to solve their problem. And then you could have up to 5 actions, which then with a button description and then, of course, an underlying system behavior if you press that button. And then now that's a disadvantage of an error podcast, but audio podcast about errors. You have the list of errors on the left-hand side with a description, then you have to have a describe button, and then you have the buttons to solve the error, like the retry, and then you have the input field where you can just enter values where applicable. Of course, that's not always possible, but in many like master data cases, you can just enter the corrected master data ID. Then those corrected data, by the way, are also checked, so I cannot just enter anything, and then this is goes through. But it's again checked if this is a valid value, and if not, you get an error message if this is that you failed to correct the failure, and then you have to try again.
But this means errors are usually corrected, so to say, manually by a user, except you get an update via a message, then it also is also corrected. So you can either change the, let's say, the faulty value to a correct one, or in case of reference errors or master data, which is not yet there, then it can also happen that it's the error is corrected automatically, so to say. Because you enter, for example, all the actual field which is not correct is now maintained correctly, and then the error would also be gone.
That's a very good point. In the end, there's even one more option that I forgot to mention. It's a mass retry. So in the POWL, if I'm not wrong, we introduced also a mass retry button. So you can also select all your consignments. I don't know. They may be restricted to a certain supplier or something. Yeah, so you can select documents and then perform a retry on all errors of that node, and then it resolves as much as possible. Yeah, of course, if the retry still fails, it fails. But with that, you can also mass retry from POWL. And I think we even have a report, but I forgot its name. I think I wrote it myself. So maybe we can check that and also provide that. But if you search for reports with error in it, that should be possible. So you can also just run a report that kind of selects all documents with errors and would then do a retry automatically in the background. So yeah, good that you asked that. I would have forgotten to mention it. And POWL mass retry is also available. Because retry is something that you can just blindly do. I mean, just restore the original value. But of course, it only makes sense for not yet created data. But for example, for the reference errors, if you have that kind of problem frequently, that because in the end, maybe coming to the reference error, it is not enough that you have, for example, the purchase order, but there must be freight units which refer to that purchase order in the end. Yeah. So, and maybe if for some reasons the freight units are not yet created, a retry would work, even though the number or the purchase order number did not work before, but after freight unit creation, it would work. Same if you already receive a freight order and that points to consignment. And if this consignment just arrives 5 minutes later, it can be solved by an automatic retry as well. So that's also a very efficient option, of course, for applicable errors. So that's not, let's say, wouldn't work for everything, I guess. Typo is a typo. But for everything else, which really can be solved by retry, it's a nice way of solving it.
And then once you click on retry, or you change the data and say retry, then the message is adapted and you send it again? Or how is this error then also resolved? Is there...
No, the retry is maybe we come to details of the BO modeling in the end a bit later. But when we store such an error, we store also... As mentioned, we remove the data from the item, for example, from the data node, but we store with the error the original value that was part of the message, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and for example, I don't know, you received on the item a product 123, and this is not yet there. We store that in this error instance, yeah, we store that product 123 value. And if you now press retry, it will just try to, or it imit or mimics that you enter product 123 into the product field in the end. So there's no new version of the message or something, but it just the value that has been sent originally, it tries to kind of re-enter that data and check if it's now a valid value. But it does not go through the complete error handling process, right, Balazs? Not to the message processing completely, right, Balazs? It more mimics the user entry.
Yes. Depending on the error category. So for some categories really trigger a new processing of the message, like reference error, for example. But yeah, for master data, that's right with what you said.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, after a deep thought, now I remember the name of that retry report. It's SEMTMS tor_retry_errors. Sometimes it's good if you think deep enough, then you remember all the report names. Okay. That's maybe for the life cycle of an error.
So you said that blocks are usually created in case there is a document error. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? You have the errors on let's say different levels. So you might have an item error and you might have a business partner error, and all are creating then root locks, or you mentioned also stop based blocks. So can you maybe just say some words on that? So how are the stops, the blocks basically created?
Yeah, I think we still owe our audience also maybe a podcast episode about blocks, but in the end, right, we have a block defines that a certain document or part of document is blocked for certain activity. So basically we have the planning block. That means this document or this part of the document, like a stage, should not be planned. We have an execution block. So I should not execute that part. And we have an invoicing block, not invoicing that part. We have that on header level. So that means the complete document is blocked, right? We introduced that, or we had it already earlier on stage level. So like for freight units, if a freight unit stage is, for example, incomplete or so, then this stage is blocked, but the other stage, which does not have that problem, can already be planned or then also executed. And now, for the sake of that development, we introduced this block also on stop level, because we had our discussions with the customers and they said that they have cases where certain locations are fine. So on the same document, they go to an inbound scenario, for example, to two plants of mine. And they don't want to block the complete document just because, for example, you deliver to, I don't know, Berlin and Frankfurt or so. And of course, in Berlin, everything is fine. But in Frankfurt, you might have an issue. And then you do not want to prevent delivery or execution to Berlin just because there is later something wrong in Frankfurt. Because that can be fixed while the truck is moving from Berlin to Frankfurt. That's why we introduced that blocks on stop level now. And for every error, more or less we know for every error the where it belongs to. For example, it belongs to an item, and this item is an inbound item, then we know the inbound stop needs to be blocked. Same if it refers to stop itself. Yeah? So master data, the location is unknown or so, then also the stop is blocked. But if it refers to, I don't know, the carrier or something which is header level, then the complete document is blocked. So it depends a bit. Okay. And as soon as we create such an error, so far we create an execution block that is hard-coded actually. We only differ between master data, reference, and advanced errors, but that's also just, for grouping. There's no technical difference between them. And then you have an execution block on stop level or on root level.
Mm-hmm. So kind of context sensitivity
exactly,
when blocking the document. Okay, so only the needed parts are really blocked. Okay.
Yeah, as fine as possible, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could still, but it's a bit technically driven, to be honest. So for the item, we know what's the stop references. For stop, we know it. For stage, we know it. But on header level, there might also be cases where you could say, okay, but it only affects, I don't know, the first stop or last stop or something. But so far, that would be a complete document block. If we have nice ideas or our customers have nice ideas on how to make that more granular based on clear criterion, then we would also be more granular there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so this means actually this new concept, you can more or less handle all the errors which we might even think of. So for example, some semantic problems we might have, the document has, or the weight is too high, and then we create an error. Or is this concept of blocking the document only, or can you only handle certain errors?
Yeah, of course, if you think long enough, maybe you can apply it to more areas. But in the end, there are certain limitations, or maybe we should call it rules for errors that can be handled with error handling. First of all, I think we mentioned that already at the beginning, it should be something that can be used, solved by a business user. So that's one rule. So that's why if it's really a technical problem, which anyway is something for a tech user, then forward error handling is the right place for the technical user. So that is one more semantic decision. Then the second one is, rule is that, of course, we need a clear indicator that something is wrong. For example, a product ID that we do not know, that is something that we as a program, we as a developer and actually our programs can detect clearly. So there's, we say, okay, if let's say the product ID is, I don't know, is very unlikely to be sent by this carrier, by this supplier or so, something like that, is nothing you can code against. Yeah. So either is this an error or not, but so far, yeah. So, so we must be, we must have a clear rule where we can identify that this is an error situation. For example, the product ID does not exist. If it exists, but it is for whatever reason not suitable, that would be something to think about at least. What is that clear criterion where you say this is right or wrong? So it must be a clear separation, and that holds true for the creation of the error, but also of the resolution. So there must be a clear indicator that this error has been solved. So if I say, like your weight problem, if you say, yeah, the weight is now okay, then we need a crystal clear indication what okay means. I don't know. We could talk, I don't know, something like a capacity check. If you say, now do error handling for capacity checks, then you would need a clear rule where you say, okay, you have such an error if the capacity is violated. Then we have an error. If it's not violated, it's no error anymore. Then it would be suitable. But if you say, should be okay-ish, but 5% is okay, or maybe 7, it depends, then it's not a candidate for the error handling. So there must be a clear rule.
Okay. But it somehow sounds also like, let's say we have a clear definition of what is the error and when is it resolved for master data error and for reference errors. Mm-hmm. But when we think about these advanced errors, actually we can substitute many additional errors, which we might think of in future.
But again, there must be a way that we know now the problem has been solved.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So of course it can be more complex than yes or no, but mm-hmm. there must be a rule so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, we also already discussed about manual overriding kind of errors. And as I said, this distance error is maybe, again, not so black and white or weight. So there might be more to come. But for the moment, I would say, as a guiding principle, also if you think about, let's say, your own or using that error category maybe for that fields or so, you should have a clear understanding on when do I create the error, when do I remove the error. Mm-hmm. Also, what is the error that I want to present to my end user? So what do I tell my user how to solve the error? If you don't know how to tell it to your user, most likely it's not a candidate for error handling, because if you don't know what to tell the user, then the user will also be lost mm-hmm. on how to solve it. So if you cannot write a long text for a message, that's maybe also an indication for error. That is not applicable for error handling.
Is the error handling actually limited to, let's say, one field, or can I also have a combination of attributes which form the error, so to say? So if
it's
I have
combination of attribute, I would say it's not a problem. Combination of nodes is maybe more of a challenge. We come to the technical modeling, I think, in one of the next steps. Maybe we should also discuss the technical modeling, and maybe from that it becomes clear what is it? There's a technical surrounding or limitations that we have here.
Okay, because we also talked about this kind of error category, and I think you also mentioned sometimes the kind of handler classes and so on. So there seems to be some error category specific implementations, or how is that overall concept?
Yeah, so every error in the end, maybe we can just slowly moving over to the technical part of the modeling. And maybe also come to the handler classes and what they handle. But in the end, more or less all steps in the life cycle of such an error are handled by error handler methods, class methods. So you have such a handler class for the error category, and that is, for example, called to check if the error is resolved. Yeah. It is also called if you enter a value. That you make sure that the value is appropriate for your handler or for your error. Yeah? So I don't know if you're like it's a numeric field or so that you then validate the input that the input is numeric or whatever. Yeah? If it really fits, the F4 helps are described or defined by the error handler class. So more or less everything. In the end, the actions, the actions, their names, their icons, all that comes from the error handler class, the handling of the actions as well. So you have it more or less in full control. The only thing that you do not do in the handler class itself is the creation of the error, obviously, because to create the error and identify the error handler class, that's a catch 22, right? If the error handler class, which depends on the error category, would also be responsible for creating the error. That would be a catch 22. So in the end, that is something else. So if we come to that later, there's some coding where you can create your errors in message processing in the end.
Mm-hmm. Where did you know? This means for every error category, and every error category is really the smallest piece, so to say, because it really defines a unique error. There is a class which actually defines the context of this error and the additional information and characteristics.
Everything. Exactly. So for every error category, there is a class that has no other job than handling exactly those errors, but all aspects of that error. Mm-hmm. There is a little bit around it, and maybe let's jump into the BO model, and then maybe that explains what is done outside the handler classes. So if we create such an error, we already talked about error categories. Yeah? This needs to be stored somewhere. So if I have like three errors for item 20 and two errors for item 10, there needs to be a place where we store those errors. And that is done in a new BO node, which is called, it's below the root node, and it's called error_handler, right, Balazs?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe I just think a bit longer, and now I remember that it's called error_handling, after a deep thought. That's the error handling node. And this, in the end, it has as a main indicator the error category, because there's so much depending on the error category. I think we discussed that already quite a bit, that this is stored in the in this error handling node. But not only that, also the wrong value, the value that has been set originally, or product_123, for example, that needs to be stored somewhere. And this is stored in that error handling node. And actually, there are two values that we can store. That is, for example, for the reference errors relevant, where we have the the type code and the ID. that in the end identifies a reference error. And that's already it on that level. But you might ask yourself, how do we know which item is affected? And that is a subnode of that error handling node. So below the error handling node, if I think long enough, the subnode is called error underscore instances. There we have a pointer to the actual, for example, item keys. Why is that a subnode? The ratio behind that is that we think that we have some certain errors that affect many nodes. For example, I have this wrong consignee, for example, for 10 items. I don't want to see that error 10 times, but I want to see that I have this error 10 times. So, but it's one error that I also resolve it in one go. That's why we decided that the error with the error category plus the wrong value and additional wrong value for context is stored independent of the error instances. So in the instances, I mean, we are in BOPF, so we can just store the keys and the error category would know what is the node I take care about. And because it's item product, it's root party or root shipper, root consignee. So I know the node from the error category already. Then I just need to save the instance. So this, the GUID of item 10, the GUID of item 20, etc. And that's it in the end. There's one more thing, however, and for performance reason, on the actual data node, like our item in that case, there is also a field that indicates that this item, for example, has an error. So the field is called node underscore has underscore error. So that's node has error. And as long as we have an item level, for example, there's at least one error instance pointing to that item, then this node has error is true. X is not initial. Yeah. And that, why is that? In the first place, performance. So because now if I'm in the after modify determination for such an item, I know, okay, something changed on the item and the item has an error. So maybe my problem is gone. So it notifies I'm on the item. I see I have an error and there's an association technically from the item to the error instance node. No? That's because it's all GUIDs and all BOPF, it's pretty straightforward. So we, from the item, we can easily navigate to the respective error handling node in the end. And from there, we know we have the error handler class. And then we say, okay, dear error handler class, can you please check if your problem is solved? As simple as that. And then we said we have 5 different errors on the item, and maybe the user solved 3 of them, then 3 of the errors will be gone, but the other 2s will still remain. And with that, also this node has error flag remains. But after the last error has been resolved, then also this node has error flag is also resolved. And then also, if that is resolved, the error handling class or error handling node is solved and disappears. And with that, the block disappears. All that is done in the end with after modify determinations. Yeah, so you have an after modify determination on the item. This then calls the action, so to say, or calls the error handler class to check if the error has been resolved. If the error has been resolved, then this error handling instance is resolved, is deleted. If the error handling instance is deleted, the block is checked if it is still an error instance there, and if not, the block is also deleted. So all that's normal BOPF stuff. I think if you don't know what BOPF is, there are 2 episodes about that you may listen to, and then hear that again, then you will know what we are talking about. If he did not already lose you beforehand. That's in the end the modeling. So you have a node where the error, as also displayed on the UI, is stored. And that is, it's really a small one, at least for us. So it's only the error category and the references and the node, so item or so. then the pointer to the instances, which is that error instance, and the flag in the actual data node, in the item, in the stop, on the root level, etc. And that's it from a BO perspective. But that also means that coming back, closing the brackets, your question was, can I, with that advanced error, can I resolve or can I model any kind of error? At least if it's kind of cross-node, then you have to think about how to, which node is marked with node has error in that case, for example. Yeah, how do I make sure that it's removed correctly? So that would be a challenge then. If I have, a combination of fields on different nodes, then the current concept, I think, would come to its limitations. But if it's just a custom field on root level, custom field on item level, a combination of fields on item level, I think that's all fine. Or also if the hierarchy is clear that you say the field on item level must match something on root level, but the error is on item level, that's also fine. Yeah? Mm-hmm. The only challenge is then if it's possible to change something on root level, and that should also trigger a reevaluation, that would be a bit tricky in that case. Mm-hmm. But for I think there are many use cases where you are, let's say, bound to one node and maybe a combination of fields on a node, but in the end, you are on one node. Plus, you have some context maybe from other nodes, but that you have a combination of values of different fields, and any change on any level can solve the error, then maybe the error handling is not yet there.
Okay, but this means, again, we have basically an external caller who creates these instances, so actual BO node mm-hmm. instances in case mm-hmm. there is an error. Mm-hmm. The BO is somehow self-containing itself, meaning the BO detects if the error is solved mm-hmm. by calling or by asking, so to say, the individual handler classes.
Exactly, that's a good point. So it's BO itself doesn't know if it's solved or not. It asks mm-hmm. the handler classes if it's solved or okay. not. That's a good mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm.
And then once everything's solved, so to say, the error instances are gone, and then also the blocks are then removed again, and this is again done more or less by the business object itself.
Exactly, the error instances are gone. Once the error instances are gone, the error handling node, it's grouping mm-hmm. the instance is gone, and that with that other blocks are gone. Exactly, okay. That's the technical sequence, if I'm not wrong. Right, Balazs?
Yes, that's yeah. correct. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. And this feature is something which we just have activated in standard, or is it something which you can call which you control by the handler classes, or how do you control this mm-hmm. this feature?
Balazs, do you want to answer that, or should I take it?
Yeah. So there there's some criteria. So as you mentioned, this is mostly in the context of message processing. And there is a limitation here. So this is active in the service which is called the transportation order generic request, or the TGI. And then in addition, there's a customizing where you can enable this error handling basically.
Mm. For that's on document types, type yeah. level, right?
Yeah.
What it's available. Comment? Yeah. So it's available for freight orders and for consignment orders.
Exactly. Yes. Freight orders, consignment orders, freight units, not yet, right?
No.
I think because we don't have the use case yet. Yeah. And maybe one more comment on the message. It's this, as Balazs already mentioned, the transportation order generic request in. And I think there's one or two more prerequisites. One is that you have that replication indicator, I guess. So those of you working with messages would know better than I do what this means. Or if the... what's it called? The delta handling? I wrote it somewhere. Wait. One second.
Complete transmission indicator, you mean?
Ah, yes. Now, if you mentioned, if you're using this complete transmission indicator, only then it's active for the moment. Maybe we will widen the scope, but that's, let's say, what we use for our, for the 2020 core scenarios, consignment inbound message, freight order inbound message. And that's why we focused on that. It might be widened. And we also think about, let's say, message external usages, but so far it's actually only within a message. Yeah? So let's say if we look at standard, it's only used in the message handling so far. For that specific message with that specific prerequisites, and if the customizing is active, that is of course a compatibility consideration. We think it should always be active. And we also default that, if I'm not wrong, for new document types. But of course, if you just upgrade and don't care about that feature, you still want to see the errors in our forward error handling, because this is where your people are used to look for it. That's why you have to activate it in customizing explicitly, because there was a different behavior before. And compatibility is king.
Okay, so basically you control the behavior via the type customizing, and currently it's only, so to say in quotes, activated for the transportation order generic request in service message, which supports processes like the TOR generic in, so the replication TOR generic in ASN, whatsoever, what's coming next.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, but that's another episode. Maybe the consignment order might be something. It's a, let's say, very prominent user of that one, which is to be discussed in another episode. Yes, but that is ASN in the end will typically end up being a consignment on our side, consignment order. And there is where we typically have that kind of master data errors in those scenarios, but of course also for freight orders. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I'm from consulting, so usually I also love to use these features in customer projects. So is there any option to easily enhance it? So if I have a dedicated error, I want to do my own error category or so.
Patrick, you never get enough, right? So, okay. We said more than 50 error categories. Isn't that enough? But okay. Yes, there's a chance. To enhance that, and maybe Balazs, do you want to spend some words on what needs to be done?
Yeah, so I think if you
for greedy Patrick,
if you've listened carefully until now, and then you ask yourself how could you then create your own category, I think you already have the answer. It's quite straightforward. So yes, it's possible. You can define your category. And as you already know, a category has its own handler class, which implements a certain interface. And then you have to implement this class, and then there is a set of methods that you have to implement. You can also choose to implement from one of our standard superclasses. For example, if you just want to create a new master data error, then you can inherit from the superclass for the master data errors. And then you will probably only need like a couple of lines of code to specify for which field you want to create this error category and so on. And then once you have the category and its handler, then there's a body where you can register it and add it to the list of the available categories. And then you just need one last step. You also have to identify the situations. As we mentioned, this is not done in the BO, but it's done outside. So there's a body during the service processing for the TGI service. And then it's possible to create an enhancement, a body implementation where you detect this error situation and then you write this error that you've defined.
Sounds easy. Patrick, more questions? Maybe we can also mention some of the names. So first of all, the error categories. They are defined in the domain SCMTMS and then TOR_error_cut. That's the first step that Balazs mentioned. So you have to enhance that domain by your own Z category. It's a character 10, so there should be plenty of space for a meaningful get. That's one thing. That the interface that you have to implement, it's called SCM TMS, and then IF underscore tor underscore error underscore handle. Yeah, that's the interface. Then we have the body SCM TMS tor underscore error underscore handling underscore cut, where you do the mapping. Yeah, this error category, this set error category belongs to this handler class, which then implements that interface that we just mentioned. And the last step is then this body where you rewrite the error from the message. And that's SCM TMS tor underscore SE underscore tor underscore GN underscore rec. And in there is a specific method called adapt underscore data underscore, ooh, no, I lost my memory. tor underscore GN underscore rec. That's the name. And then adapt underscore data underscore for underscore OMUH for order management update handler. That is where you then write the actual error. And then the structure, what you write there is pretty much what we just described as structure for the error handling. Yeah, that's the error handling class and the instances you're referring to.
And if I would create an error category, let's say, which is where there is a similar error category already in standard, so on the same node and so on, then I think everything would work more or less out of the box. And if I would introduce a new node, or if I would have an error on a node which doesn't have any errors in standard, I would have to do some enhancements in the determinations and so on, which
detects. Exactly. So you should follow that node has errors pattern. However, you have to implement the after modify determination and the call yourself, but then you can just follow the pattern that we introduced in all the other nodes that already have that error handler.
Okay, cool. Sounds like a really nice concept and feature and has a bright future, I think.
Yeah, we hope so too. So we talking about future, maybe. So some thoughts that we have. Yeah, again, we typically talk just so. What we talked about so far is mostly there. Some visions that we have here is that we also store more, because so far, as mentioned, if an error is resolved, it's really gone as it was never there. That, of course, is lean. And has a data, what is Datensparsamkeit? So it's a lean usage of data for sure. However, for some analytics or even for improving solving errors in the future, we think about storing more information on the error and how it has been solved, maybe when it has been solved, by which means it has been solved. So, for example, an error that is typically resolved by a retry after 10 minutes. We may even schedule something, like 10 minutes later or something. Yeah, to take an example, that is one thing. We already thought about usages in planning, like the mentioned geo or distance determination error. That is maybe a candidate, maybe capacity check errors, that we also make those more, let's say, explicit, explicitly handled. And yeah, I also hope that has a bright future and that we can use it also for other scenarios that we didn't even think of so far. So far it turns out nice. Also our colleagues from IPSO, so what was the artist formerly known as Custom Development. We worked very closely with them in a recent project, and they also already introduced their own error category. So we know that this is not only theory that we described. But that is only available with Feature Pack 1 or some nodes, that full extensibility. I also think that's a good feature. Can solve a lot of problems. And Hope you did it well. Okay. Then, if there are no more questions, even from Patrick,
then no I think we... Everything's solved. Everything's solved. Everything's answered.
Okay, then. Yeah, thanks a lot, everybody. Then we can call it an episode, I would say. One hour, 20 minutes. That's a solid episode, but it's okay. A lot of details. By the way, there will be, we are currently preparing another podcast. I think I said that a year ago already, right? So what we're still preparing is a very deep preparation. Where we go a bit deeper. For example, we now just mentioned that there are different interface methods, etc. So we, and this other podcast is TM podcast, but the black belt edition. So it goes more into technology, not we don't stay that much on the surface like today, but we go into some more details, like the interfaces, etc. Interface methods required here, and we also plan to have an episode on more detailed level how to create such an error instance in this new podcast to come. But that's just a plan so far. It's not a promise, but a plan at least, and we hope to deliver that as well. And then you, if you like this episode and now want to go and create your own error categories, it might be worth listening to the other one. We will announce that on our usual channels on SCN, this LinkedIn Transportation Management group, and Twitter, yeah, the TM Podcast Twitter account, and then you would find us there. So thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for asking. Thanks for answering. And have a good day. Bye.
Good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.